Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, I'm reminded when I was growing up that next door to us was a great neighbor, and I really loved them. And they had this beautiful dog, but they were ones that believed dogs needed to be outside and never inside. And so that the dog wouldn't wander around the neighborhood, they had a big oak tree kind of in the middle of the yard, and they would chain this dog to that tree. And the dog every day when children got out of school and they'd come walking down the sidewalk, the dog in his excitement would always forget that he had a chain, and he would come running to it until he was reminded that he had limits. And I don't know if you remember several years ago when Haiti went through that terrible earthquake, and we saw pictures and pictures of Haiti and the devastation. And one of the things that really caught my attention was the livestock. And the image that came to me was these herds of animals, and they were, you would think, behind fences, but the thing really was they weren't herds, and there was no fences. So how the owners would kind of keep these animals from running away, their pigs and cows and goats and sheep, was that they would chain them up. They tied them to stakes in the ground to keep them from wandering off, and they did it with rope, or they did it with string, chains, whatever they had available. Whatever would keep that animal secure. And it was interesting to watch because the animals were thinking that they were free to move about and then would be quickly reminded that they were not. Coming to the end of the rope, they were very quickly jerked back into reality. They weren't as free as they thought they were. Okay, here's the point. To many of us today that are living our lives not in the joy and completeness that God wants us to be, we are tethered and have tethered ourselves to the past. We are tied to a stake that's called guilt. We are chained to something so bad that we feel it's beyond forgiveness, and we hold on to it and will not let it go. And as a result, separate ourselves from God and deny ourselves the joy that He offers us right now in our lives. We forget that God has already forgiven us. And we don't claim the freedom that comes with knowing that you are a forgiven child of God. You've reached out to others. You've forgiven others, and you understand that healing and that freeing feeling that comes for them and for you to give that to them and take that away from yourselves. But at times, too many of us refuse to forgive ourselves. And the moment that we begin to move on with our lives, we are quickly jerked back to reality as we remember that past incident. Like the livestock in Haiti, we are tied up. We are chained, still in chains. And why? Because we haven't claimed that forgiveness that God has for us. When it comes to letting go and experiencing God's grace, there are several things that we must realize. And the first one is we need to realize that there is a difference between being forgiven and feeling forgiven. Being forgiven, that's God's part. He does that. In that, we find forgiveness, we find redemption, we find restoration, and a new life that God has given us through His grace and His love. Not by what we've done, not by our works, not by being a great person, not by our own doing, but because that's God's work of forgiving us. being forgiven is God's part. Feeling forgiven, that's our part. Acknowledging and claiming that forgiveness. I mean, intellectually, don't we? We all know we're forgiven by God. We understand that concept. We've read the Bible. We've been in Sunday school. We understand how that's supposed to work. We've read the Scriptures. We've looked at them over and over again. And the Scriptures remind us that God removes our sin. This morning in a prayer confession, we were assured that God has and Christ has forgiven us. And God removes that sin for us as far as the east is from the west. But too often we don't feel forgiven. We stay miserable. Because inside we believe that what we've done is so wrong that even that God can't even forgive that one. And because we don't feel forgiven, we negate the forgiveness that God has given to us by putting ourselves back in the very chains that God broke us from. We remember it's been about a year ago or so, maybe less than that, I guess, when Whitney Houston died. And one of the comments that was said in all the news coverage that covered her death was this comment that really caught our attention, and it said that she was really unable to forgive herself. And it's just so tragic to me because God's forgiveness is there for all of us. As Christians, we have to understand and claim that no matter what happened, that no matter what was done, think of the most heinous criminal in the world, and if he truly has forgiven and gone to Christ, it is forgiven. Period. You know, refusing to forgive ourselves, we carry around and continue to carry around a ball and chain. I got caught up in a TV show the other day. It's called The Great Escape. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. It's silly as it can be. But in this one, people were in the swamps of Louisiana trying to get to some place to claim this prize. And one of the first things that they had to do was overcome this ball and chain that was hooked between the two of them. And how they had to walk and learn and get to where they took that off. It's a constant reminder that they were tethered. And that ball and chain that we carry ourselves constantly causes us to remember this ugly thing called the past. We trip over it and it's heavy and it's annoying. And it wears us down. It's restrictive. It keeps us from experiencing the fullness of God's love that He wants for us each and every day. God's kingdom doesn't come when we transition to the next life. God's kingdom is right now. The joys that He has for us is intended in this life as well. Truly letting go means realizing the difference between being forgiven, God's part, and feeling forgiven, which is our part. You know, two disciples, and in the scripture today we read about one of those. Two disciples, Peter and Judas. Two disciples that lived with Christ for over 3 years, that were in His most intimate moments, who I believe at times truly loved Christ, who Jesus loved in return. I think that illustrates, those two disciples illustrate the importance of feeling forgiven. I think too often we tend to live more like Judas than we do like Peter. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. Both of those two disciples, I believe, experienced the consequences of not forgiving themselves. When we do that, we put limits on God. We say that, I know you're powerful, but my sin is so bad that it's beyond what even you can do. And that, I believe, limits our God. Not what He is, but how we're with Him. When we choose not to forgive ourselves, the consequences become a feeling of unworthiness, a self-punishment that God is already beyond and past. You know, Peter in the scripture was unable to forgive himself, and he lived with that weight of unworthiness. Peter, the man who Jesus called the rock. Peter, the one who told them that he would never leave. And in fact, as in the Gospel of Mark, it records, Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will not deny you." And so here we have Peter doing just as our Lord said he would. And when he realized that, he wept bitterly under that weight of unworthiness. Peter knows he's forgiven. Peter knows that he's a redeemed child of God's. But under this weight of an inability to forgive himself, he doesn't feel forgiven and he's miserable. And think what history would have been different had he not been able to get past that. And I think the second consequence of not being able to forgive ourselves is self-punishment. Now, I'm the one who believes this, and there's a whole lot of room for y'all to be in some different places with this, but I personally believe that Judas loved Jesus just as much as the other disciples. I really do. And I believe that once Judas realized, now he had some other plans, he had some other ways of trying to make something happen that he wanted, but I believe that he did it because he loved Christ and he wanted a particular endpoint that he didn't understand wasn't where they were going. So he tried to force it, he tried to manipulate it, he tried to control it. But once Judas realized what he had done, how Jesus wasn't going to call up all his followers to gather arms and swords and shields and bows and arrows. And once Judas realized that Jesus' plan all along was his crucifixion, and it was by his own kiss that he was betrayed into the hands of Rome, that Judas was so unable to forgive himself for that he took it upon himself to punish himself. Two men from Jesus' inner circle, I think, who model for us today the consequences of not being able to forgive ourselves. When it comes to feeling forgiven, we have a choice. We can choose the choice of not forgiving ourselves, which is unworthiness and self-punishment, or we can choose the consequences of recognizing the forgiveness that God has for us and forgiving ourselves. Now, here's where the two ways that the disciples took this part. Peter, he's struggling under the weight of unworthiness, and haven't we all at some point in time denied Christ and the feelings that we have with that and the opportunities that we had to let others know of him when we denied him. Here's Peter who encounters, after all of that, the living Christ and makes the choice to forgive himself and help change the world. And then on the other hand, here's Judas, who is totally unable to forgive himself, totally unable to understand that grace that Christ had for him, who found himself stuck in a downward spiral, and it eventually led to his death. And I think too often too many of us tend to live like Judas rather than Peter. We walk around our life with this ball and chain that we call, unconsciously even maybe, our past. We know that God is a forgiving God, but God can't forgive this. And at that moment, in those moments when we choose that path that Judas chose, when we wallow in unworthiness and self-punishment, and we're miserable so much that it feels like it's killing us, and that's not the plan that God has for you. God has His love and a joy of life that He has given to you. Judas' problem was that he didn't know how to forgive himself. And Peter offers all of us today the better example. Yeah, we've messed up. True, we've made mistakes. But we got to understand and grasp and accept and realize that there is nothing too big. There is no sin too heinous. There is nothing so bad that God can't forgive. That each and every one of us truly, truly has the slate wiped clean. Peter eventually realized that it was on his own inability to forgive himself that was keeping him from experiencing the wholeness and salvation and freedom that God wanted him to have. And that's the consequences of us being able to accept God's forgiveness and truly forgive ourselves. It's wholeness and freedom. The key to that lock and chain is in our hands. We don't have to go looking for it. That key lies at the foot of the cross. And it's always been right there. None of us are so far along that we don't need to be reminded, I think, of this basic truth, that we are forgiven, reconciled sinners, saved by the grace of God. You know, and I love this verse in Charles Wesley's hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," where he says, "He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free." What theology! I think that's what it means to be a Christian. To know that I, that you, have been released from our own sin, our own guilt, our own failures through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen to that? Thank you. As a Sunday school teacher once told me, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Indeed, as Christians, and we've seen these bumper stickers, we're not perfect. But we are forgiven, and we need to claim that. You know, there's a kind of a theological difference between the Western Church and the Eastern Church. The Eastern Orthodox and in the Western Church, what tends to be thought of as the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. Now, it's just in a way that we look at this. And too often in the Western Church, the philosophy a little bit is that we're in a courtroom. And we're before this judge who's going to sentence us. And at the last moment before the gavel hits, Christ stands up and says, "It's all forgiven. I've taken care of this." But I love the concept of the Eastern Church, where instead of looking at it as a legal, kind of punitive, punishing type of operation, they look at it as we find ourselves in a hospital. We find ourselves in an emergency room. And Christ comes to heal us. That no matter what we have, Christ is there to make us whole again. I don't know if any of you have ever been in an emergency room, but it's not a fun place to be. And if you really don't need to be there, but you're there anyway, then you can stay all day and really observe a lot. And you can see people with all sorts of issues, right? And injuries from softball and soccer and running through your own house, and people with maybe kidney stones or allergic reactions. And it's not a great way to spend an afternoon, but you get an eyeful. And when you go to the emergency room, you look around and you see the diversity of God's people. You see the rich and the poor and the young and the old. Some speak English, some speak another language. Some are Caucasian, some are not. Some you can look at and immediately know what's wrong, and others you see and you're not quite sure what it is, but you know beneath that service, everyone has something that needs to be healed or they wouldn't be there. And it reminds me of all of us, that we all have something that God needs to heal, which He has healed as the great physician, and we need to accept that. I was reminded in my reading this past week, to getting ready for this, that in many ways, church is really not a school for saints, but is a hospital for sinners. Many Christians, I think, all over this nation will come to church today because they feel that something is not right, and it won't go away, and it has to do with forgiveness, and it has to do with their inability to forgive themselves. recognizing that Christ has already done it. Maybe we need to forgive someone else. Maybe we need to ask for someone else's forgiveness. But many times it's about forgiving ourselves. I want to tell you, there's an urgency about this forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, I'm serious here. It keeps us from God. It keeps us from living the life that He wants us to have, full of joy and peace. Forgiveness is not something light. Our ability to forgive others, but it's just as important our ability to forgive ourselves. If we can't do it, it keeps us from God. Letting go of the past, throwing away those balls and chains, forgiving ourselves, being bathed in that cleansing power of God's unmerited and undeserving and all-encompassing love. When you have that, you're truly free. You're made whole again. There's no rope that pulls you back. I ask you, please get rid of that ball and chain. Please get rid of what keeps you from access to God's love and grace that is there for you right now and was earned by Christ's crucifixion. If we can't claim that forgiveness for ourselves, we are not acknowledging what Christ did for us. God has forgiven you, brothers and sisters, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. Believe it, because Christ died for you for that. Forgive yourself. Know deep, deep inside that you are forgiven. That the grace of God is greater than anything that you could have done. I believe the church is a hospital for sinners. And that we forgive because we need to forgive. We forgive because, as Christians, that is our witness. We forgive because that is the heart of the gospel. And we forgive ourselves because God wants us whole and in a relationship with Him. Your chains are gone. You've been set free. In the name of Christ and through the power of His cross, you are forgiven. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Father, we cannot begin to understand the depth and breadth of your forgiveness. It's so hard for us to grasp whatever the sin, and it's so hard for us to understand whatever the hurt, that no matter what we've done, we are forgiven. And that you want us whole and in relationship with you. Be with us so that we know that truth. Do not allow us this morning to leave this moment until we know deep within that we are forgiven. Through your grace that is greater than all sin, and in so knowing, enable us to forgive ourselves. And all God's people said, Amen.